We're back to the big boys this week, previewing the Big East. Top performers, favorite incoming freshmen, new transfers, new faces, new places, title contenders. We're going to break it all down for you next. Let's party. Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
Woo! We're doing good now, folks. You can see the excitement. You can hear it every week we pass by Metcalf. We're so damn close. What, people will be listening to this and it'll be 24 magical days. They'll be through the weekend and it'll be 3 weeks.
Wild.
Till college hoops, AKA draft season, is back. I'm doing fantastic, Metcalf. The Vikings are on a bye this week, so I don't have to worry about Carson Wentz anymore. Yeah. and the NBA is right around the corner. We get people overreacting to preseason basketball. It's great. It feels right. How are you doing?
What's more fun? Preseason overreactions or summer league overreactions?
Summer league, because we're all still happy it's summer. But no, preseason's fun just because I hate when people be like, hey, it's just preseason. It's like, yeah, you're right, but basketball's back. Like, can we at least, we haven't had basketball for months. Let's just, everybody calm down, okay? Like, if, geez, Buzz Pillington's out there. But, you know, hey, Ace Bailey looked pretty good last night. Anyway, yeah, I think summer league's a little tough one to overreact.
Yeah, that's always my favorite. All right, a little bit of housekeeping before we dive in. Whole bunch of stuff over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. Selfishly, I'm going to plug my own stuff real quick. Had a piece on Dwayne Aristotle earlier this week. Had a piece on Koa Pete recently, and how I'm struggling with his eval and how I want it to work, but I'm scared of it not working. Should have a fun piece on Nehemiah Turner, transferred to Minnesota, and why he's one of the most fun prospects you've never heard of. A whole bunch of stuff over on the YouTube channel as well. All of our podcasts clipped up in full, a whole bunch of film schools. Make sure to go check that out. And best way to support what we do here, go subscribe over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. No Ceilings Plus gets you select articles. Going to have a bunch of breakout candidate and breakout watch stuff coming in the near future. And I think I'm toying with the idea of putting all of the NBA film schools I do throughout the season over there as well. So whole bunch of goodies. Interaction with us and our awesome Discord as well. But anything else, Rucker?
No, I think you hinted at it. I think this year's gonna be very, very fun. We're getting the itch. We got big plans this year, and I think No Ceilings Plus is probably gonna get a little bit of a, you know, injection of some fun stuff. And I know there's gonna be a lot more video content this year with the NBA stuff. I'm pumped to be getting that stuff rolling. We've been doing the 30 and 30
Yes.
series on our YouTube channel, me and Metcalf. I said it last time, but Metcalf, thank you for helping me on that. It's been very, very fun. Posted Christian Anderson today, Paul McNeil's tomorrow, Carter Knox the day after, and then Isaiah Evans. It's gonna get spicy. It's gonna get hot. So those have been fun. And then I'll be getting, you know, tape time and a couple more things I've been working on out there too. So it's gonna be a very big year. And Metcalf's been cooking lately, so no one has the itch more than Metcalf because he's just pumping out stuff. So we always thank you guys for the support. I know we've, you know, kind of everywhere right now with our pods and this, but it's gonna be really fun because I know the team's working hard right now. We're jacked up.
Absolutely. All right, so we're breaking down the Big East today. We're going team by team, alphabetical order. This isn't in terms of rankings or playing favorites or anything. We're just going alphabetical order. If you're here for a specific team, check the timestamps and then listen to all of it. So let's start out Butler Bulldogs. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a tough one to start right out of the gate, folks. Yeah. No offense to the Butler Nation. I really liked Telfort last year as a little bit of a sleeper, and he's not going to be there anymore. So is there one name that you just really are like, huh? Like, who got your attention the most? I know one of their biggest transfers, like Jalen Jackson, he's at Fort Wayne last year, almost 20 points per game. But Michael Ajayi is one of those guys of like, hey, I recognize that name. so Where you got Jack McCaffrey, I guess.
Yeah, and they got a couple top 100 recruits, mm-hmm. and Azavir Robinson of, I'm so sorry about the pronunciation. Apologies up front, trying our best. And Jack McCaffrey, a couple transfers where they're like, oh, that's where you went. Michael Ajayi, who 2 years ago, really interesting player, didn't quite click at Gonzaga. Hopefully gets back on track at Butler. Johan Traore coming over from SMU. I'm really intrigued by Drayton Jones, though. Transferring in, big man transferring in from South Carolina State, just rim running interior presence. Some of his numbers last year are kind of bonkers, where a true shooting percentage of 60.2, block rate of 8.1, free throw rate of 96. That's not normal. And everything about his game is just around the rim, and it's all just very physical, all very imposing. It'll be fascinating to see. You know, doing it at South Carolina State is one thing, no offense, but if he's able to translate that up and have similar efficiency and production at the Big East level, that'll be really intriguing. And last year he only took 5 jumpers total, so that tells you pretty much everything about his offensive game, but 61 dunks is also very fun. So explosive player. It'll be kind of fun to see that type of physical presence on the interior for Butler.
Here's a fun Drayton Jones box score, folks. 34, 8, 4, and 6 blocks on 13 of 17. And then here's another one just to top it off. He had, 28, 2, 2, and 2. He was 14 for 17 from the free throw line. So, yeah, I mean, he's listed at 6'11", 245. That's... always fun ones, you know. Yeah. It's just always fun to kind of see guys go up. This is where like the portals are fun, because you're like, whoa, did that down there? Like, what can you do when you go up? So, not a ton of Butler guys that are just kind of like really making you do backflips, but it also seems like it's a typical Butler program of like, let's get a couple guys in that top 100, let's kind of work with them to get their games going, and then now with the portal, you just try to strategically add and see what you got.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Another team that's strategically added in a big way, Creighton Blue Jays. I think this team could be incredibly good this year. Obviously, they have Jackson McAndrew returning, but some of their transfers are insane, with Blake Harper, Owen Freeman, Josh Dix, and then Hudson Greer, top 40 ESPN recruit coming in from Montverde, who I think is sneaky one of the best shooters in this freshman class. Kind of have to start with Blake Harper, though, right?
When you start anywhere, I love these guys. I really like Creighton's team. It's one of those things where you keep watching film in the offseason, and every time another Creighton guy comes on, I'm like, gosh, man, yeah, this could be a fun squad. I really like Hudson Greer. So we could start wherever you want, Metcalf. You steal
call.
The ship.
Your call.
Blake Harper, I mean, I love the guy. Yeah. I absolutely love the kid. I think he's a stud. I think this is going to be one of my guys that I'm just like, hey, I watched him last year and I was like, someone go get this kid. Like he was doing great stuff at Howard. He averaged 19, 6, and 3 last year on 44, 40, 82. And he's 6'7", going to be a sophomore this year. Just the way he played the game last year, I was like, man, this kid do some stuff. So I'm pumped to see him this year. I think he could really be a big time riser in the draft space. This is the one you want. Like, this is where I love the portal, because I'm like, there is a talent that needs some more buzz, and now he's going to Creighton, Big East, going to be tested. If Blake Harper can look like he did last year, even not the same, but just, you know, efficient scoring, assists, like he's a big body. I got to see him in person. I was like, man, he's big. He's just going to be a problem with guard skills. Going to be really interesting to see. He's one of those players that doesn't seem to force the issue a lot. Mm-hmm. When I saw him in scrimmages playing pickup, whatever, just seemed like everything he allowed to come to him. And then all of a sudden he'd hit that switch of being like, all right, let me go get mine. And you're like, ooh, man. Okay. So going to be a fun one.
Yeah. It's always fun when a young 6'8 player like that with that type of versatility plays within himself and plays within the team concept and isn't like, I got this all the time. Like when they need to and they can flip that switch, love that. But not having it all the time, 24/7, gets a little problematic. But that's never what we saw from Harper. Obviously, he's a little skinny last year. Excited to see how much like strength and weight he's added because he needs to. But at 6'7", 6'8", somewhere in that range, he just does a little bit of everything out there. And just the diversity of his play type last year combined with the efficiency was really, really encouraging. I know it's at Howard, but when you're that young and that kind of strength deficient, that sounded harsh. It's still impressive to put up those numbers. And now going to Creighton, where they run a really high activity and, you know, high octane offense, where a lot of ball movement, a lot of player movement, a lot of just high demand on everyone basically being able to dribble, pass, and shoot. He's going to have an incredible chance to really prove. It's like, no, I'm not just like a sleeper. I'm a top 20 guy. I'm a potential lottery guy. And if it wouldn't shock me at all if that ends up being the case, because we saw high usage from him last year. We saw impressive efficiency despite being a freshman. We saw a lot of versatility. So if he's able to replicate that at a Big East level while also showing that he added a bunch of strength, I'm really, really excited to see what Harper can do.
Yeah, I have him as a preseason top 20 guy for me. I know that might be a little rich for some people out there, but I've watched this stuff from last year, and this is the typical guy that, you know, it's like, oh, you discover this guy, you finally see him on film, and you're like, he's going to be a senior, isn't he? And I'm going to be like, oh, gosh, a senior, he's 24, and then I'm like, freshman? What? So 6'7", what? So I just think he's got the goods, and I'm gonna know quick. Yeah. If he can adjust to Big East, we're gonna find out pretty fast. But I think the skill's there for sure.
I think another really important name that I was, if I'm gonna be a homer here, real quick, I was bummed Michigan didn't get him. Owen Freeman transferring in from Iowa. This dude looked like a monster before he got hurt last year. Ended up having to get surgery on one of his, I think he tore a ligament in one of the fingers on his shooting hand, had that repaired, was cleared, I think late summer for full contact. So should be good to go. But when we look at his numbers at Iowa last year, really just insane stuff from him. True shooting percentage of 64.7, usage of 26.3, offensive rebounding rate of 9.0, defensive rebounding rate of 20.7, block rate of 7.4, just an efficiency monster who also just was able to completely control the interior. I personally was a little concerned about what this Blue Jays front court would look like after losing Kalkbrenner, who is one of the best defenders and most decorated defenders in Big East history, and they're immediately replacing him with a guy like Owen Freeman.
I think they have one of the best off seasons. I mean, it hit portal out of the park.
Yeah.
And you also look, Metcalf, of all these guys they're gotten, they're gigantic. They have size everywhere. I mean, we just talked about Blake Harper as like this guard type of wing with, you know, forward size. He's going to be able to do some playmaking at 6'7". Then you get, we're going to talk about Josh Dix, like 6'6 shooter. Owen Freeman, 6'10, 240. Like, he's a big boy. And so it's just like they're going to have jumbo size creators and floor spacers, and then you get the bully in the middle. Like it's a nice way to kind of replace Kalkbrenner, who like has been so important for that, you know, that team. I think Freeman was a big get when they got him. It's like, there you go, you slide him in, and there's your bruising big man downside. Obviously, he's not Kalkbrenner's exact size because that's a gigantic thing, but it's still like the idea, you get the productivity, you get the versatility on both sides. Like, I like it.
But speaking of size, and then you even have like an incoming freshman in Hudson Greer, who's a lights out shooter at 6'7". You have Jackson McAndrew returning on the wing, who's 6'10". And it's like, oh my God, these guys are going to be massive with the ability to play almost five out and just free up the paint, or I guess four out, and then just totally free up the paint for Freeman to go to work and generate extra possessions and score without getting doubled. And when they do send the double, then all right, cool. I'm just going to spray it out to one of my four awesome teammates who are incredible shooters. Where you at with McAndrew? Because I think he could be a real legitimate sleeper going into the year. Last year was basically purely a spot up shooter, play finisher, really high volume 3-point shooter, 14.6 threes per 100 possessions, only 35.4%. But I think that speaks, I think that percentage speaks more to the volume and the difficulty rather than his capabilities. At 6'10, I think there's a lot of really fun upside with him. And I'm just fascinated to see if the leash is taken off a little bit and he's able to do a little bit more than he was last year.
I mean, it's, there's a lot of guys on Creighton's team I have on my list as like, hey, watch out, because someone's going to really impress early on. And also just like, it's like shooter's paradise for this team because of how much floor spacing they're going to have. And it's like Blake Harper could shoot it too.
Yeah.
So like,
I think he was at like 40% last year on,
yeah,
on lower volume, but.
But he's also going to be smart enough to be like, hey, I'm going up in competition, but look at the spacing I have and look at all these weapons I have. So that's why it's like this team could really do some damage. I think a lot of people are talking about like, you know, Iowa and all these teams that are like, yeah, they look at Wagons, Florida, but like get to the dance. And Creighton, if they're just having bombs away from downtown with all these shooters, Hudson Greer, I really liked watching his film. I was like, man, this kid could play. So I don't know. You're asking me about McAndrew. I just think 6'10 shooter. Like if you're going to get another shooter out there, and you're also with the lanes they're going to have, like, could he take advantage of that and try to get downhill a little bit, or maybe he's spotting up and everybody else is, you know, attacking the defense and he gets to get some easy shots. I don't know. This is what you like to see. Like, oh, 6'10 sophomore, like what, last game of the year, he had 12-6 against Auburn. All right. Yes. Sorry. Okay. I hate how some places formatted stuff. I'm with you. I think the shot's there, but when you have that size, we're always going to be intrigued by, oh, you're gigantic and you can shoot. But it's, if you can unlock one more part of your game, I think that's where we really get excited as evaluators. Because when you're that tall and you can shoot it, you don't have to add a ton to get us intrigued as scouts and evaluators. But if you can really show like, oh, okay, now this is part of it, and you're more consistent, you know, with the production, I think that's where you can be buzzing in a hurry. Do you agree, or what do you think?
Yeah, and then, and just the cherry on top of all of that is Josh Dix coming in to run point and run the show at 6'6 and a 42% 3-point shooter last year. It's just an insane amount of offensive talent, but also like feel and IQ and instincts from every single position, because all of those guys that we've talked about, we've gushed over their shooting and their floor spacing, but they're all guys who take care of the ball and make the right read and make the right play and play within the team context and execute their role to a really high level. And with that spacing, they're going to be able to slash and kick. They're going to be able to run empty corner pick and rolls to set up Freeman for easy looks, or just constantly put the defense in really difficult spots. So even though not all of these guys have like outlandish assist or playmaking numbers, I think just the distribution of wealth and decision-making is going to just really highlight how smart and versatile this entire team is going to be. It won't shock me if they're making a serious run in March.
Well, they got that Nick Graves from Charlotte. Yeah. I think they're going to even think he's going to run the show a little bit. And then they still have Fedor Zuzic.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, there's no way I pronounced that right. But from last year, like who got like cleared eligible late, which I was like, gosh, it's so annoying when they do this. So we need to talk about Creighton as a deep team.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, but it's also just like, that's the most dangerous both ways. That's the most dangerous team.
Yeah.
When you get tournament time, you get red hot for a couple weeks from downtown, you can go to the title game if you have that much shooting. Because all it takes is, a couple of our guys can't miss. It's like, going to beat people by 20. Like, I don't know. So it's just going to come down to, how are you? Can you hold up defensively? Who can step up that way? Maybe they get a defensive specialist, that's like, okay, we need a stopper. Let's get him to play alongside the shooters. And then Blake Harper, how efficient can he be? And then the guards, what can you set up everybody? It'd probably be a heck of a team to coach.
Yeah.
Like, man, we're going to shoot it. We're going to shoot the ball. So, it's going to be a fun one.
All right, let's move on to DePaul. Only major standout for me, one of my favorite players last year, coming in from Tulane, Caleb Banks. I really like the way this kid plays. I think he's kind of a fun, versatile play finisher. And then some of the rim protection stuff that he showed at Tulane, specifically, especially from like a low man help, weak side rotation stuff, was really fun. I think that was a big get for them. I kind of struggle with the rest of this team, though.
It's a tough team. They've got a couple guys returning that are like, maybe they could take one more big step. CJ Gunn took a huge step in terms of his sophomore to junior year. So you're like, maybe we can get one more. But he was 3 points per game as a sophomore in 12 minutes. Last year he was at 12 and 26 minutes. So you're wondering, maybe one more, because anytime you're 6'7", 200, you'll get the attention. But other than that, DePaul's just kind of been like we're waiting for that turn.
I would put Leighton Blocker right at the top of that list. Was like, just make that leap, please. And even coming out of high school, he was so fun and shifty and creative as an on-ball creator. And we saw some of that in his playmaking last year. The scoring's just never gotten there, and last year, just true shooting percentage of 50.7, 33.7% from three, not good enough. He's so much fun. And if he's able to take that leap and become a more versatile or efficient scorer, then I think DePaul could kind of be a little sneaky tough. But I just keep wanting more from him.
Completely agree. All right. Sorry to both DePaul fans. You're probably not on here being really pumped about the season, but
Georgetown,
talk to me. Hoyas.
I don't know what this team is.
Probably my most confused I've ever been.
I love KJ Lewis.
What was the offseason until we got really like KJ? Don't know what he is. I was like, welcome to KJ Lewis. I love
he's
KJ.
He's an awesome defender. He's never been able to figure out the scoring part.
KJ's been constantly the guy that I'm like, you're never going to get that next step that I'm just dreaming you get.
Yeah.
And it just never happens. And then he has a game where he really looks awesome. And you're like, man, this looks good. If it just one more step up, and it just never seems that. So I was, when he hit the portal, I was like, I get it. When he went to Georgetown, I was like,
I hate that.
I don't know if I love that. Yeah. I was like, I don't know if I love that, but I don't know. I just thought he could have been like a Duke guy. Like, I thought it just was like, man, go big hunting. Like, a team should love you as just like the defensive specialist. I don't know. I thought Duke could have replaced Zion James with him almost in a weird way, but it's just KJ's not,
Like, I think he's a smart passer. He's an awesome defender. The offensive stuff just hasn't clicked. And I don't think this is the setting to unlock that, unfortunately. Like, Malik Mack is fun, but he didn't have the year that we were hoping for last year. Langston Love is just, ever since he blew out his knee, has never seemed to fully recover, unfortunately. Deshaun Harris-Smith took a major step back last year. I know some people were intrigued with him a little bit going into last year. I've unfortunately never got it. And this team feels a lot like, oh man, like if this guy takes a major leap, but when 80% of your roster is like, oh, but what if? I think you could be in a lot of trouble.
It's an island of they didn't work out. Come, let's try a new place. Because there's a lot of guys that just didn't. Like last year was like, oh man, they had a tough year. So they're just like, all right, let's go to Georgetown. But like, here we go, Rucker. Uwachukwu Vince Wichuku from
yeah.
When he was at USC, I really liked him. I was like, oh man, this is gonna be a yeah. fun one. And then he had the health problem. It was the heart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like he was at St. John's last year, didn't really play. Like so now he's at Georgetown with Malik Mack and like you said, Deshaun Harris Smith, people were intrigued, just didn't work. But Mason like Love, I feel like it's been in college for 14 years. It's a weird team. It weirdly could be competitive, but it just seems like you're really the odds are stacked against the house is against you right now.
It wouldn't shock me if like in their big games, they're one of those teams that's able to really muck it up, make it a really gross watch and keep it close for like 80% of it. And then just not be able to hang on.
Yeah.
They're going to lose 58-51.
It's built like a team that just wants to make it a backyard brawl.
Right.
And then when it gets to a point of like, well, that's great until you have to get to a point where you need someone to take over offensively. And it's like, what is that going to be Malik Mack? Okay. But who else? Yeah. You do have to have another guy. If that guy's not cooking, and it just seems like they have a lot of guys that struggle to shoot. So they're going to have some really good defense.
The spacing on this team could be a disaster.
Yeah, it could be.
Like we just gushed over Creighton spacing. This one feels like it's could resemble the spacing of like the 1960s.
Yeah. I love the Bob Cousy drive by basically era. And then my favorite is incoming freshman Nunn.
That's really tough. Like
it's just tough.
You're Georgetown. You can't get anyone.
It's really tough.
What are we doing?
So, I mean, maybe you're hoping one of these returners is going to step up.
I think Sorber being as good as he was that quickly, I think I'm assuming probably threw things through a loop. I'm guessing they weren't quite anticipating that, but that's the sport. That's what the money's for. Figure it out. All right. Anything else on Georgetown? Are you good? Go ahead.
Yeah. I think you were spot on about the Sorber thing. I think they were pleasantly surprised of how quickly, and they were trying to at one point see if Sorber would come back, and then I think they've eventually realized the big boy's gone. Yeah. And they were proud of it, but I think you're looking at this team right now and it's like, oh, if you had Sorber in the middle, things would maybe change a little bit. But maybe they're hoping to leap. Jaden Ford's going to be a 6'9 sophomore. Are they redshirt? I don't know. Who knows? So that's all I got. Go Hoyas.
Okay, let's move on to Marquette. Obviously losing Cam Jones, David Joplin, but have Chase Ross returning. Never going to quit Chase. Always a fan.
Big fan.
Still think he's going to have a big year. He improved a ton last year. Just can we get the outside shot a little more consistent? The defense rocks. The passing and the slashing and decision-making took a huge leap last year. And then they have a couple incoming freshmen that I'm really, really intrigued with. Nigel James coming in from Lehigh. I love this kid. Shot needs work, whatever. His creativity, composure, playmaking, rim pressure, all of that kind of stuff is so much fun. He reminds me a lot of like Ryan Nemhard, especially at this stage when Nemhard was coming out of Montford. And then Michael Phillips II is a really intriguing wing as well. I think he's definitely a long-term guy, but similar vibes to some of the wings they've had in recent years. Kind of like Chase Ross, where defense looks really solid. The shot looks really solid. Handle and all that on ball creation and whatnot need work, but from a 3-and-D standpoint right away, I like a lot of his tools.
Their freshman class looks like something that Georgetown should have done.
Yeah.
This seems like it's Marquette reloading to be like, okay, you guys are going to also probably be here a couple of years, but we're going to groom you. And they've got the multiple guards or, just like kind of like, okay, here's the next wave. They're
building a program.
Yeah. They're building a program. I love Chase Ross, man. I still think this is, it'll be a fun year to see what type of step he's going to take. It seems like they've kind of done a nice job each year of, I mean, it's tough for some of these guys, but it's been like, okay, like they went from Kolek passing the torch to Cam Jones and then Cam Jones passing the torch to Chase Ross. So I think Chase Ross is probably going to realize like, hey, this is a really big opportunity for me to kind of be more of the guy. And you've seen his numbers steadily climb each year. And if he could get that 3-point shot to flirting with 40%, I'd like too much of Chase Ross. Corey wrote an article about him a couple years ago, the thrill of the chase. I've been a fan. Be a guy if I was in the front office, two-way, 100%.
Oh, God, yeah.
At minimum. Probably would draft him in the second round at some point just because of the versatility he gives you on the defensive side of the ball. And then offensively, I think he is comfortable with what he is. So this year I'm excited to just focus there offensively and be like, hey, you might take a big step offensively and it hurts the defense a little bit, but I know what you are. So it might be just like an energy consumer that's like, well, the defense came back a little bit, but it's because
right.
He's really making an effort offensively to be the guy.
All right. Providence Friars. This is kind of another team that I'm struggling with. I'm intrigued
with a couple of these. Okay, go ahead.
So I think Jahmyr Jones, incoming freshman, yeah, is kind of fun. Really kind of fun slasher, off-ball scorer, off-ball creator. Can create a bit of havoc and chaos on defense. Defensive consistency needs work. Falls out of his shot a little too much. Needs some refinement, but he's kind of fun. I'm intrigued with him. Jalen Harrell as well showed some stuff. Pretty sure he was on the same AAU teams as Nigel James and London Jemison and Dwayne Aristode. I could be getting those mixed up, but regardless, I remember his film being a lot of fun. Who stood out to you though?
Jones really kind of got me like, oh man. But I don't know if it's going to be right away, but man, when watching his stuff, he plays like he's a power forward that wants to dunk on everyone. Because he's just constantly looking for a way to get at the basket and challenge someone. And he plays with like power, and he's got a build and a combination of like power and strength for a forward. That's just at the high school level. You're just like, man, he just is ready for anyone that tries to challenge him. I just think you got to the shot always, but yeah, especially there. It's just like, hey, that could last in high school, but I mean,
and I think it's workable. It's yeah, just he just like falls out of it a little too much. He has that snake bite release. There we go, words. A little too much. So I definitely think it's like, I think the foundation is encouraging, but just some,
I'm trying to be better about this. We had someone once comment on the snake bite comment and say, what does that mean? So that means when you're shooting, you don't hold the follow through. You just like quickly, yeah, it's almost like a jab back at it. So for, if you're listening, that person that commented on it, there you go. I hear with you. It's watching his tape. It also just seems like a guy that understands, like, I'm stronger than everyone and I'm athletic. I'm not going to just shoot. I'm going to get to the basket, which I sort of love, but yes, like then the shot eventually comes around and you're like, okay, I could see why you're just trying to get around the basket. Big time power leaper, like he's going to be that athletic wing or forward. I mean, he was listed at high school at 6'6", 220. I think Providence has him at around 218. So I don't know. I like the tools. Jason Edwards transferring there. I got Jalen Harrell too, and I don't know. It Providence is probably going to be a little tricky, but it just seems like there's some names that I'm like, I'm going to keep an eye on it. Keep an eye from a distance.
All right, Seton Hall, where do you want to start?
Seton Hall, what do you think? Hey, real fun question. trivia question. Because I don't know the answer. Where is Garway DeWall this year?
Oh boy.
Oh wow. Was it even? You're not gonna guess it.
I don't know.
McNeese State.
Oh, a year too late.
Gosh dang it, man. I loved
Garland. That's a tough L.
It's okay.
I want to start with Najee Hines, their top 100 recruit for Seton Hall. I think he's kind of intriguing. Like, really fun athlete, good rebounder, plays with a lot of physicality, some encouraging ball skills. But this dude is explosive as all heck, especially around the rim, rebounding, being a defensive playmaker. It's just staying involved and that consistency. I think he's just really, really raw right now.
Who did you say you cut out? Shout
for,
out to the...
for Hines, their okay. incoming freshman.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this seems a little weird. It seems like last year they did with Georgetown. I can't believe how many drive-by Georgetown Slaters I'm giving. It seems like they're doing what Georgetown did, or last year they did what Georgetown's doing this year, because let's play another round. Scotty Middleton. Where is Scotty Middleton this year?
McNeese. I don't know.
Tulane.
At least he went to a beautiful campus.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like they're just kind of doing like the, okay, let's get another round of transfers, see what we got here. Adam Clark, Elijah Fisher. I got nothing, Metcalf.
Yeah, none of these guys move me. It's all out of, okay. Let's move on to St. John's. Speaking of transfers, holy cow. Floor is yours. Where do you want to start?
Quick question. Is Bryce Hopkins healthy?
I think so. I hope so.
I'm sorry for any of the Red Storm faithful out there that you're listening to this and like, these guys don't even, come on. We're making our rounds. We're talking to people who've been, you know, at practices. We're getting the intel and stuff, but I love Bryce Hopkins. I don't, hey, health concerns wise for as an NBA prospect, fine. But like, man, if he's healthy, that's just a beast for St. John. So I hope he's healthy, but there's a lot of transfers for this team that are actually really intriguing. I don't know how this is going to all fit together, but that's also why you have Rick Pitino. That's my analysis.
That helps. Well, one of the best college coaches ever tends to help because on paper, I kind of hate this team.
It gets a little ugly. I get why you get excited. You know what it is? We're year two Pitino St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
It gets you excited because there's some big names and you're like, well, look what we did last year. Now we got some bigger stuff. Patino's going to figure it out. There's buzz.
It feels like the polar opposite of last year's team, where like last year they played really good defense and they got bounced because they couldn't buy a bucket. So they're like, all right, we're going to go get every bucket getter we can think of with Josen Sanan and Ian Jackson. And it's like, who's going to run the offense? Like, who's just going to make the simple plays? Who's going to do the little things? Like, I think Dylan Darling is really intriguing. His numbers at Idaho State last year were really impressive. And if he can translate that to Big East play, that's going to do wonders for their team. I remember over the summer, there were rumblings that Ian Jackson was going to be playing point for them. I hope it works, but from what we've seen, I hate that. We've heard rumblings that Ozias Sellers transfer from Stanford is going to be playing point. Not a huge fan of that, having a guy with an assist rate last year of 7.9 run my offense. I love Zubi Ejiofor.
I love Zubi.
He took a big leap last year and looked so good. I think he's going to be a really, really solid player. Like, in a vacuum, I think there are a lot of really good players on here. I just have no idea how they fit.
This is going to be a little spicy. I think Zubi could be their best prospect.
This year?
A little spicy.
Are you talking just this year or in general, like long term?
Maybe long term.
Oh, okay. I like Zubi.
I like Zubi. Look, there's going to be some people that are Sanan fans, Josen Sanan. I can never say his name right. There's going to be some Ian Jackson truths that's out there. I like Ian Jackson. I don't know how it's going to work here. I was optimistic. I think maybe now that the rumblings that he might not be the point is like, actually, I might be more pleased with that.
Yeah.
with all these guys they got in, it seemed like Patino was going to be like, okay, who am I going to trust and who's going to buy into being the table setter? If Sellers is the guy, you're really putting a lot on him to all of a sudden shift from being more of a score first guy to setting people up. I know you got some advanced numbers on that, but the last thing I will say is, like, if you get Zuby and a healthy Bryce Hopkins, that could carry you. That could get you far. Yeah,
it could.
So, and then
that might be the best front court in the Big East.
If you're healthy, I think it's the best front court. Because Bryce is a monster in college. Yeah. He's an absolute monster because he can shoot it. He's bigger. He's stronger. But you just got to keep him healthy for a full year. And then Zuby's going to be a really good player. I know he's a little undersized, but he's just tough. And
he moves well. The game slowed down for him so much last year.
Yeah, so when I say he's maybe their best prospect, it's more because I'm saying the other guys might not really be living up. And I'm more saying Zuby might be a solid rotation guy that really just – makes a long career at the next level because of, like, the things he can bring to the table. But I don't know, like, Dylan Mitchell's there.
Yeah.
Is it going to be Dylan Mitchell time? Like, why he's transferring?
Dylan Mitchell time. Fun defender. Love the defense. Love the athleticism, but he also needs someone to set the table for him. And if everything we're hearing about who's going to be the starting point guard are three guys who had single digit assist rates last year. Riddle me that.
That'd be amazing. Could we get Rick Pitino in the Riddler costume?
Why is this not clearly Dylan Darling's job? An assist rate of 35.4, turnover rate of just 14.7 last year. With the use of 29.3.
Yeah. He was at Idaho State last year.
So
6'1", 175, 19 a game with five assists.
Is this all just a smoke screen, or does he look that bad, or have these guys, other guys, taken a major leap?
Preseason quotes always get a little scary, but the one we saw was, I'm sorry, I just closed it for whoever said it, but it was saying Patino said Sellers is the leading candidate to be the starting point guard, or is the starting point guard, and said that Darling was going to be the backup point guard, which was like, those are very direct quotes.
Yeah.
24 days away from the season. So I guess they're going to start with that. Do they finish the season that way? Maybe not. But maybe you're thinking, hey, the first team's going to be with Ian off the ball or something, and then the second team's going to be with, I can't say his name, Josen off the ball. Like, I don't know. It's weird, but maybe it works.
I hope it does. And I don't mean to totally dog on these guys.
No, we're not.
It's more so just the process, because, like, Sinan's a fun scorer, and he's not my cup of tea, but there were stretchers last year at ASU where he was an awesome bucket getter. Same with Ian Jackson. The flashes we've seen have been incredible, but the flashes with all these guys, none of them have ever contained awesome playmaking stuff or anything that suggests point guard. So hopefully over the summer, they've had huge developments in it, and Dylan Darling still looks like an awesome point guard, but these guys have taken a major leap. I would love that. But based on what we've seen in their time in college at other places, I don't get that impression.
I know I said earlier, hey, spicy take is Zuby could be the best prospect. It's going to be Ian because of the background, his success in FIBA, Captain Jack. Like, I just think they're, I saw him at Formula Zero this summer. There was a clear emphasis every time he played 5-on-5. I've seen him 2 years in a row. And in 1 year, there was a clear emphasis when he was playing of, like, trying to set the table. So it was clearly he was working on.
I love that.
Yeah. So did it not go well? Or are they going to be like, hey, Ian, we're going to get you your buckets, but you also got to be able to run some sets off the ball. Like, if we ever get the ball, and you got to be able to make decisions. But I still think Ian's going to have a big year because I think he's got too much firepower.
And he still shot it really well at pretty high volume last year.
It got to a point where they're like, hey, we have to play this kid. He can't miss. So if you get Bryce Hopkins and Ian cooking, that could carry you in a game. And then you get Dylan Mitchell to really just beat the crap out of people defensively and be a lob threat. And Dylan Mitchell, just let him be him. Don't try to make Dylan Mitchell something he's not.
No, just go let him be Jared Vanderbilt.
There you go. So that's where you're, if you know, we're being blunt to start, but if you're St. John's, if you're a, you know, a Red Storm fan, that's where you get excited. But it's just, you got to have a table setter. You got to have someone to put everyone in position. You got to have someone where it's a 2-point game in Madison Square Garden. People are going nuts. Calm everybody down.
Yeah. I also feel like every Pitino team ever has had. That's why it's so weird to me that they don't seem to have one.
Yeah. When they got Santa and Jackson, like the same time in the portal, I was like, what are we doing? I was like, are we going to do Hunger Games to run the point? Like, it was like, no, don't do that. So now
these guys are bucket getters. They're shooting guards. They're not point guards.
Yeah. So I'm with you. Darling, yes, he's a transfer from Idaho. He's smaller, but he's the only guy that has had success as a playmaker.
Yeah.
Almost 20 a game with almost 6 assists a game at Idaho State. Like, you'd think, okay, like, but maybe you're just going to do the Rick Pitino special of like, okay, guy in, guy off. Like, we're just going to keep throwing different looks at you, ride the hot hand. I don't know.
And maybe they just play at a pace where they don't need to overly rely on a half-court offense, and they're just going to go and run and push
which makes some sense.
Could make sense with Ian Jackson and Dylan Mitchell. And
that's what I would think if you're Pitino, you're trying to sell. We're going to run. Imagine.
Yeah.
And if we don't score right away, we're going to give it to the big man and he's going to go to work. Or you're just be like, we're going to run and you guys are going to get shots up and we're going to run people out of the gym. They can do that well.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can shoot it. So I don't know, Mega. It's just
which at the very least will be entertaining.
Yeah. It's going to be an entertaining team for sure.
Yes.
It's just, if Hopkins isn't healthy, the excitement level of this team really goes down for me. Because I'm like, man, this could get ugly.
Ruben Prey's not doing it for you anymore?
No.
Okay.
He's not there. But maybe he's a breakout guy. I don't know. That's all I got.
All right, let's move on to UConn. He's got a lot of talent too. Shocker. Where do you want to start with them?
I love this team.
They're fun.
I think this is a bounce back year for UConn in a big way, Metcalf. I'm not just like, I really like the returners. I really like the incoming guys. I love some of the freshmen they've got. I feel like there's just guys that really fit together well this year. And then there's Alex Caravan. I'm kidding. you tell me, set the tone. There's a lot of names I like here.
And we got to start with Braylon Mullins.
Yeah, we got to start with Mullins.
All right, this kid rocks.
I think he's going to be what, no drive-bys. This isn't a drive-by. I'm just saying, I think he's going to live up to the hype better than what like UConn fans wanted McNeely to be last year. I think you're going to find out.
Well, I think he's going to be, if they stay healthy, hopefully, fingers crossed, I think he's going to be in a better situation for that.
I think Mullins is the top 7 pick right now. I think this kid rocks. I think he's going to be a monster. He's a vicious shooter. He's got good feel. He's got some bounce. He just can bombs away. He's a really quick relocation guy. Like he can lull you to sleep. He's got like that explosive off ball movement where it's just like, oh man, he really can, like, you see a defender be like, oh crap. Like he cuts to the corner, like, and he just quickly can get balanced. Shot gets up really quick. I think he's just going to be a monster. I think he's going to be really good with this team, with floor spacing and everything.
Yeah, and it's that off-ball movement that you don't expect to see from a high schooler, where I just like his understanding of like when to go over a screen or when to sink back to the corner or like where how his man is pursuing him off screens. It's really high-level stuff. And then he's also just really composed once he gets the ball too. Like, this is going to sound really cheesy, but like the way that he like operates off of his pivot foot is really fun. And he's just really aggressive with jab steps, great balance off of it, explodes off that first step, gets to a spot. Not like an awesome playmaker, but there are enough flashes where I think, all right, and there's room for growth here for it to be an actual tool going forward. And then at his size, he's got some bounce to his game too. So when he gets it downhill and he gets that free lane to the rim, it's not just a below the rim finisher who wants to live on the outside. He's not afraid to put guys on posters. And then to cap that all off, he's a really good defender. Like I have some questions about the foot speed. Ultimately, you know, at an NBA level, but the fundamentals are awesome. He consistently locks guys up, needs to get a little stronger, but plays with physicality, really attentive, and communicates really well off ball. I have him as a top 10 guy right now.
I think he's a problem. Yeah, I would have a nightmare defending him because it is the ultimate little things guy.
Yeah,
offensively, it's like the off ball movement. When you see, like, exactly, I had the same thing. Like, off ball movement as a high schooler, you don't see this often. Just the way he cuts around and, like, understands when guys fall asleep, like that split second where he's just like, corner, I'm fading to the corner, and the guy, oh, what the heck, where did he go? Like, but I love that you brought up the footwork with the jabs. Like, I watched him get he caught a pass, didn't dribble, like, threw three jabs at a guy, and I think created like another 2 inches of separation, and then just pull up, like, shot a three right away. I was just like, you don't see guys do that anymore. Like, understand how to use jab steps to create, sell. I think he's just really good at, like, okay, I'm cutting through, lolling, boom, I'm flashing to the corner. It's like, that those guys are also effective at the NBA level because no one old wants to deal with that all night. You don't want to deal with this. Like, this kid just won't stop moving. So, yeah, he's got to hit shots. He's got to be efficient. All that stuff that we're looking at this year. But his shot's gorgeous, and I like the playmaking. I think it's just exactly what you would want it to be. Then you get him back door, and he throws down nasty, like, pulls it back dunks. Yeah. You're like, okay, this kid has a little bit of everything here. And then, like you said, the defense. So it's also like, if he's legit, like, 6'6", there's the shooter. We're always looking like, who's the shooter that we're always going to get excited about in this class? I think he's more than the shooter. I think he's just a bad man on the court. So
I think this class is looking to have a lot of really good shooters. Yeah. I think this is going to be a really good shooting class. But along with him, a couple other freshmen incoming. Eric Reby, top 30 ESPN recruit. More of a finesse big. I think he's going to be a really fun compliment to Terrace Reed. I would expect that they throw out some two big lineups because Reby's a little more of a floor spacer, really good shot blocker, had a solid FIBA showing. We saw him at Hoop Summit. Wasn't my favorite initially, but got better as the week went on. And I think he's got some fun tools long term. And then Jacob Furphy, speaking of FIBA, had an awesome FIBA tournament. Fun defender, really good shooter as well. Smart player. They got a lot of talent coming in this freshman class.
Yeah, they got a lot of talent, and they got a really nice set of returners too. That, you know, like, I like Solo Ball still. I like Silas DeMary coming over from Georgia. I'm really intrigued with, man. I like him. Little 6'4 guard. I was trying to see what Reby's listed at because I wanted to stick with him for a sec. Is
he like 7'1"?
Well, he was listed at 7'2", 215 out of high school. He's now 7'1", 260. Because I was about to say, like, I'm just waiting to see if Reby.
Where did those 30 pounds come from?
Whoa! His chef is underpaid.
Yeah.
Reby seems like a guy you're like, okay. Then he makes a couple plays, and you're like, all right, I get it. I see it. I'm waiting to see when those come around more consistently because I just have him penciled in as, like, I'm intrigued as a leap guy. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, he seems like what Klingon did, spend a year at UConn as a backup, be really good in, like, your spots, turn up the minutes a little bit your second year. Let's see what you got. So that's why I like Reby. It's not me saying, like, I don't like him at all. It's just more of I think he might be a sophomore watch, you know, list breakout guy.
I think his role and responsibilities are probably going to be pretty simple this year. And that's also a huge testament to how good I think Terrace Reed could be.
I think Reed's going to be a very, very fun name this year. I feel like a lot of us have no ceilings. I think Maxwell, you guys have been pumping that up. And I was like, yeah, I've been waiting for the Terrace Reed leap. It feels, I'll jump on board. I'm in, let me get a fan club membership. Anybody else? I still haven't really given up on, like, Jalen Stewart, but I feel like I always do this song and dance every year.
I really like what they did at the point guard spot with Silas DeMary and Malachi Smith, where DeMary's a little more of that upside swing. I think the game still, at least last year, was still really fast for him. Decision making a little inconsistent, but I think he's going to an awesome spot to learn. But then they also have the kind of senior influence of Malachi Smith, who is an awesome playmaker and decision maker and can really set the table for all these guys and just be that steadying presence when things get a little chaotic. But I mean, when we look at the upperclassmen, it's Terrace Reed, who it wouldn't be totally shocking if he ends up as a first rounder, and just the leap he continues to take every single year. The defensive playmaking and rebounding and physicality and athleticism have always been his calling cards coming out of high school, but there's always like too much chaos to his game. And every year that chaos just gets more and more refined into really productive basketball. So with yet another year, you got to imagine that it's taking a major, major leap. So
that's yeah. I mean, if we get Terrace Reed, it's, you know, well, he was 9.6 and 7 last year. If we're getting him and 15 and 8 with a boost a little bit everywhere, I think that's a talented prospect in this class. Even you know, we said the big man position needs some firepower, needs some guys to really step up. I think Terrace Reed could be that. And then Demery has a shot that reminds me of someone, and it's driving me insane. But his jumper is like spot on, and I was like, is it Jeff Teague? No, but it's not Chauncey Billups, but he's got one of those shots where I'm like, this is an older point guard. I also was like, is it just because he's giving me Cason Wallace with like the dreads and then like his little set shot? But I like his, it just seems like it's composed, doesn't rush it. I'd love the percentages to match what I watch on tape, but he just seems shifty and like poised also. I think that's a good one for UConn this year. I really like their team. I like it better than I liked it last year.
Agreed. All right, let's move on to Villanova. Another kind of tough watch for me. I think biggest in name, incoming freshman, top 40 recruit, Caden Lewis. Kind of shifty, fun point guard. Just shot needs a lot more consistency, but I think the flashes, the shot creation, some of the playmaking stuff. I'm optimistic with the defense long term, but anyone on this team kind of speaking to you?
For me, it was really just a Caden. Gosh, I love when I all of a sudden realize I have 900 tabs open on my computer. Caden's gonna be tough because I think there's gonna be a lot of people that are fans, and I get it, but I don't think he should be a one and done.
No.
Hope he has an amazing year, but I think this is a guy that could really benefit from a couple years. Every time I've seen him in person, he makes a couple plays where I'm like, the kick play. But there's also still times where I'm like, okay, need something. Come on. But it's also tough with those guys when they're going places. I'm like, man, they're gonna put a lot on your plate right away. So I don't know. Devin Eskew is a transfer from Long Beach. Sorry if you mentioned that.
Doing the world tour.
A lot of people doing the world tour. Must be nice, though. You know, he is a super, super senior. Super, super senior.
So, Bryce Lindsey coming in from James Madison, kind of a fun shooter, 41% on 14.5 attempts per 100 last year. I don't know. Not ideal.
Not ideal.
Let's move on to Xavier.
Not ideal. No,
I'm kidding. And then
one of the best names in all of sports right now. All right. 6'3", 180, going to be a sophomore from... How do you spell it? How do you say that name out loud for school? I want to see if I was right.
Valparaiso?
Yep, there you go. Valparaiso. I was right. 52-2 on 40-38-80. And then Gabriel Posado, I think that was right. Was at Evansville last year. He's originally from Rome, Italy. 15-4 on 44-31-70. That's pretty much all I had for Xavier. All right.
Yeah. Coaching change. This feels like a gap here for me. No one's getting me overly excited, unfortunately. But let's move on to predictions and wrap this up. Who you got for a regular season winner?
I'm going to say Creighton.
I Creighton or UConn. So, I'll go UConn.
Yeah, those were my two names.
Player of the year.
I'm gonna say, I'm gonna say Braylon Mullins.
Oh, freshman. Okay. I'm gonna go Owen Freeman.
Oh, that's probably a better one. I'll just say it because I already named it. Okay, so I'll say Braylon for that and freshman of the year, obviously.
Oh, yeah, Braylon for freshman. I'd be pretty surprised if it's not.
Who'd you go best transfer?
I had Blake Harper.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Blake Harper. We all know this.
Everybody. But also, if I'm going player of the year as a transfer, Owen Freeman should probably be in that conversation as well.
That would have made sense.
Most improved?
Yeah, that'd be a tough award to win if you didn't win. most improved?
I went Terrace Reed.
That's probably a good one.
He was also number two for me on player of the year.
I'm gonna just say, because I want to mix it up a little bit, so we're not just going like UConn, Creighton. I'm going to say Chase Ross is the most improved. Oh,
I like that.
And then highest draft pick. I'm going to say Mullins.
Yeah, pretty straightforward for me. All right, anything else on the Big East?
I mean, player of the year is always really tough because I feel like a lot of the awards people will lean towards upperclassmen. I mean, they might as well get something, right? So I guess if he's healthy, we could have probably put, you know, Bryce Hopkins
If he's healthy, I think that could be a sneaky one. Same with Zuby if Hopkins misses half the year.
Yeah, and I thought maybe it's a big year for Josh Dix. Maybe he could be best or most improved. And then I thought UConn's going to have one guy that we're not, you know, like I feel like Solo Ball could really be a pleasant surprise this year. The Big East has a couple of teams that are really exciting, and then other ones I'm just like, man, we need the Big East back. We need to bring it back, folks. So that's all I got.
All right. Well, he is Tyler Rucker. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me at TMetcalf11. All our stuff over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. Best way to support us is go subscribe to No Ceilings Plus. Exclusive articles, access to us. We're going to be doing watch-alongs and stuff with plus subscribers this year, specific video content as well. It's going to be a fun year. Can't wait for it. Appreciate all you listening. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe, 5 stars, all that good stuff. But until next time, see ya.